Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. A.W. Tozier wrote, "The decline of apocalyptic expectation in the contemporary church today. Many today are so focused on living life to the fullest, they're not concerned with Christ coming." Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Turn back to 1 Thessalonians. Still have to turn back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Many people are caught up in living life to the fullest. They want to experience everything that money will allow them to experience. There's some that try to change the world today through politics. They want to usher in a perfect society, make everybody equal, everybody have the same thing. But all the countries that have tried that in socialism and communism, it doesn't work. And it's been proven over and over again. Miss Thatcher, who was Prime Minister of England, said the problem with socialism is you run out of other people's money. And that's what people want. They want your tax money to give away to others, and they sooner or later will run out of other people's money. Scripture gives us an admonition to be watchful, to be ready, to be waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9 and 10, the apostle spoke of the believers at Thessalonica. He said, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." The day of God's wrath will come upon this earth, but Christ has delivered believers from that day of judgment. We will go home to be with the Lord, and we'll be in heaven when the time of the tribulation begins on the earth. First 3 years, the Antichrist will come to power. There'll be certain changes that will take place. There will be many issues going on, but the last 3.5 years is where Revelation 6 through 19 reveals God's wrath poured out from heaven on this earth. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, there's another reminder we've looked at about the coming of the Lord. We're supposed to be sober, to be watchful and alert. We are not to live as children of the dark. We're to live as children of the light. Romans 13, 11 says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Now we are appointed to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have obtained forgiveness of our sins. We have obtained the payment that he made to pay for the penalty on our sins, the judgment for our sins. He has broken the power that sin had over us. And there is still yet a future part of our salvation, that when we go to heaven to be with him, we receive a new body and the rewards for our faithfulness. And all of that is still yet a future transformation. We are looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of Christ our Savior. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, Peter wrote to the young ministers. And he said he himself was a minister of God. And he said when the chief shepherd will appear, he will reward those that have been faithful for their service and for their sacrifices. Now Paul wrote, Christ the righteous judge has a crown of righteousness that he will give not only to Paul, but to all those that love the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. So we look at an introduction of a reminder of the coming of the Lord, our looking for Him, our waiting for Him, our expectation of Him coming. Secondly tonight, sadly, more people in this world are in love with this present world than who are preparing to leave this world behind. I really believe there are some people that are so caught up in living life, maybe they got it pretty good right now, and they really would not want the Lord to come and deliver them before they get to experience all of the things that they want to do with wealth or with time or with pleasure or whatever it may be. And there are many caught up in the world so much that way. But this present world we live in, the Bible teaches, is evil. And 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So there's a danger there. If you have your Bibles, look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3 and verse 18. Paul said in verse 17 to be a follower of him and mark those that you have as an example. For many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the word conversation there quite often means manner of living. And this particular word that's translated conversation has an aspect of politics involved, and it's defined to mean our citizenship. So our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When God saved you, He made you a citizen of heaven. And you're a citizen of this earth and the nation you live in, but you're a citizen of heaven. You're going to leave this world behind one day. As the songwriter wrote many years ago, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Now, who shall change our vile body, verse 21, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Chapter 4 and verse number 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So when you see therefore, stop and see what it's there for, or wherefore. And that reminds you to look at the previous verses, because the subject that was been spoken of, he's now making a statement based on the previous verses. In chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my dearly beloved and long for, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So the admonition for us to stand fast for God in this ever-changing world in which we live, in this present evil world he spoke of in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 4. Our citizenship is with the Lord, who's our Savior. He's coming to change us to be like unto him. And so our admonition is to stand fast for him in this world, live for him and serve him, because this world is ever-changing, and most of the time it is not for the good. In James 5 and verse 7 and 8, we looked at it, to be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Our job as the farmer is to be patient, waiting for the Lord to bring the harvest. And we are to plant, and we are to water, and we are to work the ground in the sense of evangelism. We're sowing the seed. We're following up. We're working with people. But Jesus will bring the harvest. He's coming, and that day will be soon. He'll harvest when he comes. 1 Peter 4:7 said, "The end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Now, we're given many admonitions about the Lord's return. We must not ignore them. We must not think that they don't matter to us, or they don't influence us, or they don't count to us, because they certainly do. We must be aware that Jesus could come at any time. And our responsibility is to be ready, to be looking, to be expectant of the Lord's return. Thirdly, future truth impacts present responsibility. In John 9:4, Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." In a sense, night has come in many nations. Places that once had the gospel, places where once there were churches like ours, places where people could preach and teach. And some of those countries are now closed to churches and closed to the gospel. And Islam has taken over many of those nations, and night has come to them so that no man can work like once we could have. Who do you know that is not saved, or that is so caught up in this world they're not at all prepared for the coming of the Lord? Are we doing anything to rescue them? Are we doing anything to turn their head back to the right, to remind them of what is really important in life? Are we doing anything to rescue them? Jesus wept and prayed over Jerusalem. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you together like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but ye would not." They would not come unto him. They would not allow them to comfort them with truth. I've read about it a time or two. I've seen mother hens, big old fat hens, that had 15 or 20 little dibbies, we call them, you know, little bitties that had hatched out just big enough to walk and peep, you know. And a bad storm comes up, and the mother would shake her feathers, and those little old chickens would run up under, and she'd sit down on them and cover them with her feathers and protect them. Someone said a fire had swept through an area, and they found a dead mother hen like that burned, and the chicks were under. Some of them were still alive that were the inner ones there that she had protected and shielded. And the Lord spreads his wings over us and protects us. He wants us to come to him. He went from village to village preaching and teaching and trying to turn people to truth in preparation for the kingdom. He enlisted disciples and sent them out two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits and to preach the gospel. In Luke 12:39, Jesus taught, "If the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his home to be broken up." You know, there's people that aren't watching today. They're not watching their children. They're not watching them grow up. They're not watching what they're involved with. They're not protecting and taking care for themselves and their family and their children. And Jesus is going to come one day. It's important that we do all we can to reach people like that. Maybe you could buy them a book. Maybe you could give them some reading material, a little bit at a time. Maybe you could give them a CD of a sermon that you've heard by somebody who's preached a great message on the coming of the Lord, or on salvation and how it's obtained if they're an unsaved person. Our messages, every message preached Sunday morning and Sunday night, is on the internet. If you go to www.biblebaptistonline.com, you can hear the sermons from today. And if there's ever a message that you've got some family member or friend that you say, "Boy, I wish my brother-in-law could have heard that," write that down and send it to them and tell them to look it up and listen to it. We've had several people tell us that they listen often to the messages online. One gentleman's a salesman. He travels from Florida up here, works up here a few weeks, goes back to Florida, attends a church service when he's up here, and he's told me a couple of times that he listens to the messages online while he's traveling. He plugs his phone in, goes to the website, pulls up a message, and listens. And he said it's a comfort and a help to him. I'm glad he does that, but it isn't my message that's going to be the thing. It's the Word of God that's going to be the thing. And you know the messages here are on the Word of God. Our teachers teach the Word of God. Our preachers preach the Word of God. And if you can find one by somebody else that's better, send it to somebody who's lost and encourage them about being saved. We can do that. We can try to get the Word of God in their hands. We can also pray. Back in Psalm 126, you say, why did they use that kind of language in the Psalms, in Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6? It's almost like they were talking about soul winning or something, you know. Psalm 126, verse 5 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weeping, with weeping, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." So praying with tears and sharing the Word of God, being a witness to them face to face, talk to them, question them, ask them, say, "I've observed your life and I'm concerned for you, I'm worried about you. Has there been a time when you've been saved? I want to know that you're saved. I want to know you're going to heaven. When I get to heaven, I want to see you there. I don't want to be there without you. And I want you to be saved." And we can be a witness for Christ. Fourthly, we must be aware we can develop a callous attitude over time. We've been saved for a while. We've witnessed. We've gone on visitation. We've done all the things we know how to do. We've invited everybody we know to come to church. And we've kind of run out of opportunity to invite anybody else. And sometimes we get angry at sinners. We get angry at their sin. We get angry at how they live. We get angry at the problems that they go through. And we separate ourselves from the ungodly. And we don't have anybody to witness to because we've separated ourselves from all those kind of people. Barclay wrote numerous commentaries. They weren't gigantic. They weren't gigantically deep. But he wrote a number of sets of commentaries. He gave an illustration in one of them about Satan and three demons. He asked the demons, "How will you tempt and ruin men?" The first demon came to him and said, "I will convince them there is no devil." The second demon said, "I will tell them that hell is not real." A lot of people believe that, don't they? Third demon said, "I will tell them there's no hurry." Satan said, "You will ruin men by the thousands by convincing them there's no hurry. They've got plenty of time." A writer told of a witness to a man who acknowledged he needed to be saved, but he said, "It's not convenient now." We don't know how much time we have. We don't know what a day is going to bring forth. People are gambling with their soul if they know they need to be saved, and they put it off to another time. Jesus said, "In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh," in Matthew 24 and verse 44. In James 4 and verse 13 and 14, the scripture says, "Life is like a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." You ever strike a kitchen match? You know what a kitchen match is? A sulfur match. Got a white top on it. Not them little bitty dark red matches. You know, you strike about five of them trying to get one of them to light to catch a piece of paper on fire. You get a big long kitchen match with a sulfur top and you strike that thing, you got a fire then. You know, and it'll smoke, and the smoke will go up to the ceiling. You shake it, and a little smoke goes up, and then it's gone. That's what our lives are like. They're like a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. They're like the morning fog that as soon as the sun comes up at 8:30 or 9 o'clock, it's burned off and gone. That's what our lives are like. We must see that they could be here today and gone tomorrow. We must not wait. We must not gamble. We must not put off to another day to make decisions with God. Turn in your Bibles to Jude just before Revelation. I'm moving quick, so I'm almost done. Look at Jude just before Revelation. First, Second, Third, John, Jude, and Revelation. Verse 20. Just one chapter, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Jude reminds us that there will be mockers in the last days who will separate themselves from us, who walk after their ungodly lusts. They are sensual, meaning that they are natural, living by their desires, corrupt. They do not have the Spirit that we have the benefit as believers to have the Spirit of God to convict us if we do wrong. And the Holy Spirit convicts the lost to bring them to Christ. He convicts them of their lost condition. He convicts them that Jesus is the Savior who died on the cross to pay for their sins and has the power to save them. How do they learn this? Well, it can be through a witness, it can be through a sermon, it can be through reading a book, but basically it boils down to this. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. To have that faith to believe the message, they need to hear the Word of God. Jude says, so keep yourselves in the love of God. Stay close to God. Don't hinder your prayers and the power of God by allowing yourself to get into sin and to temptations and the lusts of the flesh. Don't lose your testimony. Seeking God's mercy. In grace, God gives us what we do not deserve, and that's salvation. In mercy, God does not give us what we do deserve, and that's judgment, because Christ suffered our judgment on Calvary's cross. Therefore, we need to understand God's mercy to us. Let us have compassion on others, making a difference. Ron Baltz used to send me little notes all the time. He'd always write that at the end. He'd say, make a difference. Ron Baltz. He wanted his preacher to make a difference. He wanted to remind me to make a difference. My friends, like you, I want to make a difference. I want to count for the Lord. I want to help people with compassion. Jesus saw the multitude scattered like sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion for them. He had a love for souls. He said, save some with compassion. Your love for them, your care for them, your concern for them, your prayers for them. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. There is a place called hell. And Jesus spoke as much or more about hell in the New Testament as he did about heaven. And hell is a terrible place, and the lost will go there. Like a firebrand plucked from the burning, we can reach people before it's too late. I've heard people pray, Lord, pray for that one that's nearest hell, that they might be saved. Over in Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be something, he's nothing. He deceiveth himself, but let every man prove his own work, then shall you have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that's taught in word communicate unto him that teacheth in good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I had a friend who thought he could go into a bar and witness to somebody. And he could play horseshoes with them out behind the bar while they all drank beer, and he wouldn't drink. He just played horseshoes with them. He was going to be a witness to them. He was going to reach some of those people down and out. And that went along for a few months. And then I found out he'd started drinking with them. And he totally lost his testimony. He had no influence with them whatsoever. If you brought his name up to them, they would spit and despised him because he claimed to be a preacher and he lost his testimony before them. We are to communicate what we learn with other people, but there's a beware there. Let us not be weary in well-doing, but let us continue to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians 15:58, and the context of that is in the coming of the Lord and how we are to be expectant of the Lord's coming. Your labor is not in vain as you serve God. Jesus is coming, and his reward is with him. Let us be faithful, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Let us be looking. Let us be longing. Let us be living for the coming of our Lord. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here.